Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the week after. The week after Conference Championship Sunday. The game, the games that determine the game, that determines the championship. See, there's kind of a progression there. Do you need a whiteboard? Is that too complicated?
That's all right.
Okay. So, anyways, no really huge stories here. We had the AFC Championship game, Jets-Colts, NFC Championship game, the New Orleans Saints versus Weasels Vikings. Both were pretty decent games. Let's talk more action. Unfortunately, the show will be shorter as the season begins to end, but we are closer to the national holiday. That is the Super Bowl. And for those of you who actually might care, remember the Pro Bowl is this weekend, not in 3 weeks. This is just whatever. Yeah, so there's that. Oh, and by the way, David Garrard, the Pro Bowler. Weak. Anyways, so let's go ahead and get into quarterbacks that should be in the Pro Bowl, but won't be for various reasons. The Jets had a hard-fought first half, and they were really in the game, up by double digits at one point in the game against the Colts. And until about halfway through the third quarter, where they just couldn't stop Peyton Manning anymore. Colts win 30-17. Peyton Manning, of course, had a decent day after a rough start of being crushed, at least for the first quarter, by the Jets blitz. 26 completions, 39 attempts, 67%. 377 yards and 3 touchdowns. The only turnover on the day would not be by Peyton Manning. And there was only one interception thrown by the man they call Sanchez. That would be Mark Sanchez in his rookie year, going 17 for 30, 57%, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, with a pick that really wasn't his fault. Actually, it went through the hands of the receiver and then was caught by a defender. Now, you see here how Sanchez threw the ball 30 times. That wasn't the reason why they lost. We'll get into that more a little bit later. Also, look out for a little wildcat action that set up another one of the touchdowns for the Jets. Brad Smith threw a 45-yard pass. On the ground for the Jets, Thomas Jones had 16 carries for 42 yards, 2.6 a carry. And Sean Green had 10 carries for 41 yards, 4.1 a carry. Did have to leave the game early, also in the middle of that third quarter, as I mentioned. Also, another important injury that occurred during the game, Lito Shepard. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. On the ground for the Colts, 16 carries, 80 yards for Joseph Addai, 5 yards a carry. Did lose a fumble. Colts only turnover, only one turnover each side there, so you can't really fault the Jets in terms of turnover prowess, or lack thereof, I should say. Donald Brown, 6 carries, 18 yards, 3 yards a carry for him. In the air, Pierre Garçon. 11 catches, 151 yards, and a touchdown. We'll talk more about why that happened later. Austin Colley, 7 catches for 123 yards as well, with a touchdown. Reggie Wayne had 3 catches for 55 yards. And yes, Dallas Clark, 4 catches, 35 yards, with a touchdown. Jericho Cotchery had 5 catches for 102 yards for the Jets. Braylon Edwards, 2 catches, 100 yards, including an 80-yard booyah down the field. Dustin Keller at tight end had 6 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown as well. Mentioned the turnovers already, how those were pretty much tied. Third down percentages were pretty close. Time of possession wasn't that much different, where I thought it was worth note. A lot of this was really just a lot of quote-unquote strategy. And what I mean is putting Darrell Revis on the field. There wasn't really Darrell Revis Island, as they call it, when he shuts a man down. Yeah, I guess you could kind of claim that Reggie Wayne was there with his 3 catches, but he managed 55 yards, whereas Steve Smith, Randy Moss twice, yada, 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 Andre Smith down the line were held beneath that. But he was also spending time covering other receivers, i.e. Dallas Clark, who was held to a meager 4 catches for 35 yards. Yes, he did manage a touchdown, but that was one time when Revis didn't catch him, cover him, rather, and after Lito Shepard's injury. The calf! Why is it such a big deal that Lito Shepard got hurt? Well, for those of you who don't remember, he was a very talented corner in Philly, second to Asante Samuel, made for a really good secondary. This was his role, I believe, as well, playing with the Jets. So that way, they could put Reggie Wayne on Revis Island, as they call it, and then Lito Shepard could be responsible for whoever. Or, if they're going to put Darrell Revis on a Dallas Clark, for example, and hold his numbers down, then Shepard would come out on Wayne. Here's the thing. Even with Shepard around, they were starting to dump down to the Pierre Garçons and Austin Colleys of the world And then with Lito Shepherd out, your depth is down that much more. Big days for the young receivers. And then Peyton Manning proves once again he is a surgeon, more dissecting, as they say. I mean, you know, I know that's an overused analogy, but it's one that really fits, I think. How he's just very careful and deliberate. After he was getting hit a few times in the first quarter, you could see him on the sidelines talking to his coach. And perhaps, I mean, it could only have been to adjust for the blitz. But really, there's one more stat I think that's worth mentioning here, and I go to penalties. 6 penalties for 46 yards for the Jets. Really? Not bad. About average-ish. That kind of happens. You know, you got some corners who play physical. You got a physical team. There's going to be a few flags tossed. It happened. Colts. 1 penalty, 5 yards. The word clockwork and machine come to mind. Like, if Switzerland had a team, bam. Okay? Clockwork right there. That, my friends, was a big difference maker. Basically, veteran prowess overcoming the youth of the Jets movement. But friends, make no mistake, maybe Sanchez will even have a sophomore slump, but real deal. Maybe not as much as Chad Henne for all you Dolphin fans, but I digress. Anyways, that was the AFC Championship. The Colts are representatives in the Super Bowl. That's okay, Weasel and I already have both our representatives picked in preseason knocked out. We're not worried about that part. Weasel, take us to the NFC Championship game.
Pressure on Favre was a key to this game, as the Saints' front seven clearly dominated the offensive line of the Vikings. The turnover battle was won by the Saints at 5-1, and the Vikings were still able to take this game into overtime. The Saints came out victorious, winning 31-28, advancing to the Super Bowl. Drew Brees was 17 of 31, 54%, 197 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked once. Something that I found interesting, not an excuse, gonna sound like one though.
Here we go.
Was that there was not one holding call in that game though. Yeah. There were some plays that looked a little.
Not one holding call game. What? Not one holding call, period?
Yeah.
So then that means both O-linemen were getting away with it, if you ask me.
Possibly.
But I digress.
Well, not as much with the Vikings, though. They weren't doing enough of a good job for them. For the receiving game, Devery Henderson, 4 catches for 39 yards, 9.8 average with a touchdown. Pierre Thomas had 2 for 38 with a touchdown. Reggie Bush, he can have a touchdown too, 2 for 33. Tight end David Thomas had 3 for 32. Marquez Colston had 2 for 22. Robert Meacham, 2 for 19. In the running game, Pierre Thomas, 14 rushes for 61 yards, 4.4 average with a touchdown. Reggie Bush, 7 for 8, 1.1 average. And with the game tied at 14 with 2 minutes left in the first half, Bush muffed a punt that was recovered by the Vikings at the Saints' 10-yard line.
So that kind of balanced out the touchdown, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Or more to say the touchdown redemption, because technically the fumble happened first, but I digress.
2 plays later, though. Bad handoff by Favre to Peterson. Fumble recovered by the Saints.
Fail.
Good time in there. For the Vikings, Brett Favre. 28 of 46. 60%. 310 yards. 1 touchdown, 2 INT. Favre was beaten and battered all game by the Saints front seven. Despite not registering a sack, the Saints were hitting Favre all game as he took some vicious hits.
Yeah, I heard some moron say that no sacks were allowed, so the Vikings offensive line did good. Let me tell you something, all right? I don't know how many of you guys out there who were listening to us listen to post-game press conferences, but I like to just kind of have them on in the background while I'm doing research. I took a look at this guy while he was giving his press conference. Aside from the fact it looks like he had a big effing bruise on his forehead, he looked like hammered garbage up at the microphone. He was a mess. And like, yeah, of course. And by the way, we're only going to mention this now, and it's not going to get talked about again. And if you do say anything else about it, it will be the first act of violence on the show live. But, oh gosh, I might not come back. Dude, with as beat down as that poor dude looked right then, of course he's not thinking he's coming back. He's not a masochist. He just looked absolutely horrible at the microphone. He looked like a guy who was just beaten into submission. It was terrible.
Well, on Favre's first interception, he did get hit high by one defender, low by another, and Favre was clearly hurt in the play. He did come back.
Well, what before that, he was taking some beats,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there was a runner, either a runner or a fumble to the left end. Favre was somewhere in the play.
No, it was a running play. Oh, actually, that might have been on the Harvin fumble. I don't remember.
Not the Harvin fumble. I believe it was first half. And Favre was in the vicinity, at least, and he got booyahed by a Saints defender.
And see,
that was before this play,
yeah, too. And that's what sucks, is that play got the flag. Really probably shouldn't have. He did get high load, much like you said. That call should have been thrown. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Brady rule, and we all know that I have mixed feelings about Brett Favre as it stands, but dude clearly went for his legs. Now, you can't really penalize Aiken Adell for coming in and hitting the guy like he did, because that's his job. But whoever the player was that went low and I didn't see, that's the guy who should have gotten flagged, and there was nothing.
It's one of those things where I believe a Vikings defender, I don't think he pushed him down, but the guy was stumbling down on the ground. And he was going to tackle Favre, and he went into the legs. It's a no call, but according to the rules, it should be called.
Now, even aside from that, like, you're claiming the Van Olhoffen defense, in other words, a situation with Carson Palmer, mm-hmm. where he really was manipulated into Palmer's leg. This, not so much. He might have been taken down on the play in some way, shape, form, or fashion, true, but it was a situation where it was quite deliberate. Like,
yeah.
Let's just put it this way. There's a lot more space between Favre and this player in this case than in the actual application of the Van Olhoffen defense, as I put it. Kimo Van Olhoffen, former Steeler defensive end, for those who don't know the play exactly I'm talking about. But anyways.
Now, while that first interception hurt Favre physically, his second one hurt him emotionally. More on that later. And that may have had something to do with the press conference. Yeah.
I don't have a violin, so me sing-songing is the best you're going to have to do on that. But you get the idea.
In the receiving game, there's a lot of fail in this. Now, Bernard Berrien, he had some big catches throughout the game. 9 receptions, 102 yards, 11.3 average. Now, I like, for the Saints, I was just saying stats, you know? That's not like, I'm like, you know, I'm a Vikings fan and all. But
no.
I also, you know, say stuff when it's bad. Like, though he lost an early fourth quarter fumble in the red zone. Tight end Vishante Shenko, 4 catches for 83 yards, 20.8 average. In the early fourth quarter, he had a reception that set up a Peterson rushing touchdown where it looked like he got an atomic wedgie before making a great catch.
Yeah, where he was pulled all over the place.
Yeah, before and, I mean, the catch too, and he made it.
And look,
awesome
don't say this being a situation where a holding flag wasn't thrown, because he made the catch. You can't call holding, man.
Yeah, he made it.
There's
made
no
the
and one in football, I'm just saying.
Sidney Rice, 4 catches for 43 yards, relatively, you know, stopped. He did have a touchdown. Percy Harvin, in the drive prior to Berrien's fumble, lost one of his own, but had 5 for 38. Chester Taylor, 3 for 18. Adrian Peterson, technically, did not lose a fumble.
Yay!
But he did put the ball on the turf twice. Both were recovered by the Vikings.
There we go. Including one himself, where he's like, oh God. And just kind of.
Again!
It was the fastest crawl I have ever seen.
Yeah. Did have 25 rushes for 122 yards, 4.9 average with 3 touchdowns.
If you could think of somebody crawling with a bolt of lightning up their butt, there you go.
Yeah. Chester Taylor, 6 for 28, 4.7 average, and Percy Harvin had 4 for 15, 3.8. Now, after both teams exchanged touchdowns in the early third quarter, things got very interesting. As stated earlier, Favre got injured after his first interception.
Things got very interesting. That's how the fan puts it. How the real man puts it, when things went horribly wrong.
Yeah. Now, Favre's return was in depth, but he ended up playing the rest of the game. The Saints got no points off that turnover, but they get a Reggie Bush touchdown after Favre then put the ball on the turf.
Either way.
Yeah. On the next drive, Berrien lost a fumble in the red zone. Though, the Vikings did have a touchdown drive in their last possession, cap off with another Peterson touchdown run. 5 minutes left in the game, the game tied at 28-all. The Saints went on a 3-and-out. Vikings got the ball with 2:37 left, and far above the team downfield to the Saints' 33-yard line. Woohoo! 1 minute left. After 2 stops and no gains, the Vikings took a timeout. Then, stupidity struck.
That's when it all went wrong.
12 men on the field after a freaking timeout. 5-yard penalty.
What was it that Al Michaels said about having too many men on the field? You have to be on the short bus to not know how many guys are on there.
Yeah. Still in field goal range, though, but looking like a 55-yarder, but Longwell is a decent kicker. Still kind of money.
Longwell kicks Longwell.
Yeah.
Actually, his I believe his personal best was announced at either 56 or 57, so it's kind of technically within his
range.
Yeah,
he can make it.
I've seen him do it before, so. Yeah.
Now, what happens then is, third down, Favre drops back right, rolls, and makes a boneheaded throw. To sum up that throw nicely, I got a text from a friend of mine that I played football with named Eric. It said, tell your quarterback not to throw across his body. Wow. He throws the interception, sending the game in overtime. Isn't that pretty good?
How many times has he gotten away with it, though? That's the problem.
That is true.
You know, for me, again, I think we're in another place where, much like his last interception as a Packer, I believe Sidney Rice wasn't necessarily a bad decision, but he sure as hell let out the wrong throw.
Yeah. So, that sent the game into overtime. The Saints got the ball first and put together a long scoring drive that included three controversial calls. Here we go. Kind of controversial. It's like...
In quotes, controversial. Controversial from the view of the fan.
Questionable.
But.
There you go. But, one was for a first down on the 4th-and-1 at the Vikings 43-yard line, where it looked maybe as if Pierre Thomas temporarily lost control of the ball. The ball slid down his leg, and he had it against him, and I believe it was Chad Greenway's helmet hit the ball. And he lost control a little, but he recovered it. But that was beyond the line. So that one's a little...
Okay.
All right. The second one was a
passer...
So
that's not controversial. That was just dough. Got it.
Yeah. Well, considering it was a 4th-and-1, and you can kind of get the ball, whatever. Second one was a pass interference call where the ball...
No. You're talking about that one where he leapt over to get... Dude, that wasn't even close. Rephrase. It was close. He got it.
He got it, but what I'm saying is when he dove, Greenway's helmet hit the ball. And when he was coming back, the ball was jarred loose a little, and then Pierre Thomas did grab it again. So
from what I see it, he either made it, fumbled it, and got it back and still made it.
He made it, fumbled it, and recovered it behind the 4th-and-1. Whatever.
Okay, well...
It's just one of those things.
Never mind.
All right.
I'll put it this way. You are at least being fresh in your material and not pulling a shot doctor who is a local... talent who will just watch ESPN and spit it back out what he sees. At least he's going for original thought, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And that I will give him credit for.
Now, the pass interference that was thrown, it was to the tight end not named Shockey. The thing about it was he was backing up, and the ball was overthrown a little, and so it looked like it was uncatchable, and it looked like their feet got tangled up. Type of thing, and
well, I didn't see their feet get tangled, but
well,
yeah,
but
it was balance.
Like the guy was trying to run backwards for a catch.
No,
so they got the pass interference call there, and the third one was
okay. Hold it, no, don't you dare just run over that now.
What?
Okay, where you also had the benefit of a similar call against Bernard Berry in the situation of a face guard. That's the part you've left out
face
of this
guard,
play.
Okay.
That's what they're claiming. I'm not saying it's right.
Okay.
I'm saying the reason why they threw it was face guard.
Face guard. I can see that, but it was just.
I mean, they're not going to say face guarding on the field. They're just still going to call it pass interference. But I think that's why they threw it. Lieber face guarded it.
The face guard was there definitely, but the only difference is just that it was if the ball was thrown like at the receiver, it would be one thing. But it looked like it was overthrown. The third one, though, was Robert Meacham. Now, you saw the one where he caught it on his side, and when he was coming down, maybe the ball hit the turf.
Okay.
You saw that one.
Yeah, I did see it. Finish your piece on him, and I'll say it when you're
all
done.
All right, so, you know, that was another reviewed play, but all right. Now...
Oh, no, hold on. You saw that replay just as you claimed that I did, right? Now, here's a question I'm forced to ask you. Did you really think there was enough evidence there to overturn?
I don't think there was enough evidence, but I couldn't understand.
So then the play stands, and this beef, too, is solely negated.
Yeah, yeah.
These are three very interesting plays, and they're all three worth mention. However, to I call gotcha. Them controversial is crap.
Well, that catch did set up the 40-yard field goal by Saints kicker Garrett Hartley that won the game.
By the way, the other tight end, Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas. So, and just to clear it up, like, the reason the Vikings lost the game was nothing to do with, like, calls and stuff. It was more about turnovers and missed opportunities, like the Bush fumble.
Like, say, getting a whole crap load of penalties towards the fourth quarter there. There was a time in the game, late in the game, they flashed the stat. 2 penalties, 10 yards. They would finish the game with 5 penalties, 32 yards. Now, for this week, people are going to say that we were 1-1 picking our games. Chris was 0-2 because he picked the Jets because he's a tool. But no, he's not a tool. I'm just kidding. But I think we could claim to be 1.5-1 this week.
All right.
Because the way the game went, minus the turnovers, was exactly how we said it would go. Okay? If you look at the stat line, time of possession, 12 minutes practically. Well, excuse me, not 12. 10 minutes practically. 9 or 10 minutes difference, time of possession. And in overtime, Saints had the ball longer. Okay? So it's pretty much 10 minute time of possession difference in regulation. Okay? That's a Vikings domination right there. Okay? We won't talk about the short bus penalty situation that took the field goal out of range, but there are 2 red zone fumbles. What do we do about red zone fumbles here? We assume a field goal because we don't know if they really would have gotten the touchdown. That's 6 points. Would have been significant later. Just saying.
We kind of stunk this. I think I predicted a 31 to, I think, 27 or 28 win by the Vikings.
It was 27, yeah.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, third down percentage, Vikings, 7 of 12, 58%. Saints, 3 of 12, 25%.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees isn't getting knocked all over the field necessarily. This is just what we refer to as the good defense. Okay. Penalties. Here I am giving the Vikings a hard time for 5 for 32. The Saints, 9 for 88. Worst in the weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the reason why we were technically right. Then between Short Bus, who can't, you know, who got 12 men on the line, Brett Favre's unfortunate, you know, decision. I'm not going to rag on that because the thing that I need to stick to, even as a quote unquote hater, which, like I said, I don't really hate on Favre. I hate how he gets too much prowess. Like, they keep flashing stats. Ooh, he just passed Montana in this. His career is twice as long as Montana's.
Yeah.
When, like, Mikhail, no. No, look, trust me. With the injuries that Montana had and the concussions, trust me, it's pretty much twice as long. That's what she said. Oh, anyway, so the point is, I'm not going to hate on Favre for the interception, so, but we have all these things that shoot them in the foot. And then the only, it could be argued that the defense did a great job. It was just some very close moments that just happened to break the Saints' way. The alleged Pierre Thomas thing. You want to talk about, he might have dropped it, blah, blah, blah. The point is, the stop itself was very close, okay? Yeah. That call, I've seen worse get passed, so I can see your beef there even. And that catch, where it just didn't have the right angle, really see what happened. I had to say because the call on the field was catch, it's got to stand. All those things just happened to break against the Vikings defense in this case, who was doing their job pretty much for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of those things and the offense, you know, they like to say shoot yourself in the foot. I believe they did that with a bazooka round in this game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And yet still managed to somehow the Vikings machine still managed to run on one appendage and collateral damage from shooting yourself in the bazooka round in the foot. So, you know, that's a tribute to the Vikings defense, personally. This high-flying offense being held to virtually a low number considering 2 red zone turnovers and buffoonery all over the field on offense.
Buffoonery.
Hey, I talked smack on him. I might as well use his turn to pay him some tribute later.
And one final farce that for the past 3 seasons, his last pass thrown has been an interception.
Yeah.
2007 in the NFC Championship game against the Giants, mm-hmm. threw an interception to Corey Webster. 2008 against the Jets, when he was with the Jets, his last pass was an interception. And
against the Dolphins, right?
I believe so. And this year.
Who was that against? Oh, right.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, but the the outcome here is people want to make the argument, oh, the better team lost. Well, the better defense may have lost, yes. The better team, no. Okay. Teams that are good don't have 12 men on the field. Teams that are good don't put the ball on the ground. Let's see, how many times? I got the stats.
Five.
One, two, three. No, it's more than five. One, two, three, four, five, six times.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Lost it five times.
Well,
Peterson.
Five turnovers. Five turnovers. Put the ball on the ground six times. I can understand why he didn't get the count right, because there's an awful lot to, you know, it's an awful lot to count when you're looking at it on the stat sheet. So it's kind of easy to miss one. But yeah, don't come at me with calls.
And, I got you.
Which you're not doing. This is to the public out there who are inevitably doing that, as the Viking fans that Dan Fouts said were, you know, the least smart in the league. You have separated yourself from there, obviously, because you said up front, I'm not looking for sympathy and not calm, but, you know, you understand the concept of bazooka round to the foot.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, but any of things, the only thing that'll be more of a blast than said bazooka round is the parties that will ensue for the national holiday that is the Super Bowl. Well, Saints, Colts, they like to say high-flying offenses. I like to say both these teams have a balanced offense. Defense, really, that's kind of the same, really, on either side. You don't know what you're going to really get. The difference is, the Colts' key player is still missing, technically, but they're doing a decent job. And Darren Sharper is, well, present and accounted for. So, at quarterback, you got Manning versus Breeze. Breeze isn't Manning, but he ain't bad.
Yeah.
The running back position, pretty much even out, I'd give a slight edge to the Saints. We already said the defense, I'd probably give a slight edge, actually, to the Colts on the strength of Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis on the ends. They're fast enough to balance out the speed-built Saints offense. But on the day, when everything is said and done, I have often said... The thing I've said the most is people that will come up to me in June or July, or even March and April in some cases, go, so who you got for next year, Kyle? I'm like, really, the draft hasn't happened. So I give them the standard answer of, look, when it comes to winning, I believe in balance. Everything in moderation, everything that you do right, even though you don't do it the best. Everybody got that?
Yeah, you said do.
Twice. So, balance wins. The Colts, for a number of years, in the preseason, during the season, have been the most balanced team. The only thing where they're really weak is they really don't have enough fat guys, but, you know, I mean, but other than that, their numbers, their stats, their ability to stop and make progress with the ball, depending on which side of the ball they're on, is always pretty solid. So on the strength of that balance, oh, and oh, by the way, the discipline, one penalty, 5 yards against a heavy blitzing defense versus eight. Let me look it up again. Yeah, eight penalties and 99 yards in your home stadium.
Yeah, there's a big difference with crowd noise. Like, with
granted, the Colts were in their home stadium, but they actually used it, by the way.
Oh yeah. With Favre, and I think even the coach was wearing one.
Earplugs.
And the Saints, their fans were pretty loud.
Of course, when you saw Favre wearing that, you kind of thought it was a purple hearing aid at first.
Digress. But that is a big difference, having the home field and using it, but. It's going to be, I believe, a high-scoring game.
Yeah, that's what everybody seems to be thinking. Yeah,
yeah.
Me too.
So, we going to predictions?
Yes, we're at that place.
I'm going...
I didn't say it. It's not official until I go, Weasel, who you got?
Key to this game for me is the defensive pressure on the quarterback.
Yes.
Now, defensive ends for the Colts...
Are Mathis and Dwight Freeney?
Yeah, they got that, but... could have gave, a lot of people were giving the game to the Vikings because of the strength of their defensive line.
You don't have to say a lot of people. You can say it was me.
No, of course.
Well,
no,
I did too. I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, a lot of people. Cause,
yeah.
But Manny, I mean, you can say what you want about like Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon.
Garçon!
And
I am Garçon.
What I noticed about that game is that they were making, like, great catches.
Mm-hmm. Actually, both sides. In fairness, both sides were making fantastic catches in the Jets-Colts game. But, yes, Garçon was making
some
good.
Colley
laid out for a couple. Yeah.
So, I got this game. The Colts are going to take it 34-27. High score.
Okay. For my money, I got the Colts, too. I made that pretty clear, I think. Just on the strength of, I don't think the Saints have quite enough on defense. But Darren Sharp is awesome. Yeah, okay, he can't be all over the field, okay? Guess what? They just had Darrell Revis, the actual best defensive back in the league. Sorry, Mr. Woodson. But, even with that in mind, he can't be everywhere. The Saints will be put on their back with Manning passing, and they'll be sitting back, and then all of a sudden, here will come Joseph Addai to throw things off, or Donald Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And then on defense, they'll try to outspeed them with the running game, sending Bush to the outside, having Pierre Thomas do something up the middle. Gary Brackett will be there at the linebacker spot if they try to go up the middle. Mathis and Freeney, unless they over-pursue a lot in this game, will be able to make those stops. I like their corners better than I like the Saints corners. It's the Colts all the way for me. Score wise, I think it'll be a little bit more separate. I'd be a little surprised if somebody doesn't break 40. In this case, I'd probably say, like, you had 34-27. Yeah, I'm probably gonna throw another 10 points on that and go 44-27. So it could work out that the Saints break 30, but I don't see it. So there you go. I got the Colts. Weasel's got the Colts. Well, we did that in the preseason many years ago, but that doesn't matter now. With that, in 2 weeks, you'll hear our comments on the Super Bowl. How we normally do it is, we go through, we talk about the commercials, which even for the Super Bowl is kind of a big deal. You got to say something about that, at least in passing. And then take that finely tuned brush and just kind of tear away at the game. Anyway, so be looking out for that in 2 weeks after the big game. We have a week off, so unfortunately you are without us for a week. If you have a topic that we'd like to talk about, like how no one's talking about what will happen if Brett Favre will win the Super Bowl and where he'll stand in the greatest of all-time quarterbacks. Oh, too soon?
Nah.
Anyway, so that's Favre. That's him, right?
I know.
So anyway, with that, if there's anything you'd like to add to our analysis, feel free to leave us a comment on the webpage, www.thestudentgame.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. And I'll drop a couple tweets for you there before the big game. Username VSOTG. Until then, I'm Kyle, the student of the game, or my co-host Weasel. See you at the lament of the end of the season.